Amen. Hallelujah. I was in Arkansas Thursday night, and I couldn't get up with anybody. Everybody's doing last-minute Christmas shopping and what have you. Couldn't find my brother, and so I just went to Fred's Fish House by myself. And they have the best catfish in the world. And my brother told me yesterday, he said, those ponds that they raise them in, take them out of so they catch some and fry them up and give them a taste test. If they don't taste right, they throw them back till they're just right. And so I guess they follow them all the way through till they're just right. And man, I tell you what, I bit into those fillets Thursday night and then again yesterday. And the best catfish in creation. People come from miles and miles around to eat catfish at Fred's Fish House. Well, any time of day I go in, I get the Thursday special. If I go in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, ask for the Thursday special. They let you do that in Arkansas, in Mammoth Spring anyway. Amen. And so I ordered the Thursday special. And for I don't know how long, it's been $2.75 for the Thursday special. Well, Thursday night, my bill come to over $5 of all things. And for a catfish dinner at Fred's Fish House, first thing you know, I was paying tax and all for drink and all. Way up there, $5.60, $0.70. And that kind of took me by surprise. Of course, still the cheapest catfish dinner in the country. But they had me spoiled already. It was too cheap. And so my cousin Junior McCraddock, who runs Fred's Fish House, amen, he just doubled the prices all of a sudden on everybody. My brother said he did it too quick. He should have did it more gradual. Amen. But you know what? I went right back the next day, and I thought it was my brother's time to buy. We take time about buy it at Fred's Fish House. So I didn't have any qualms about going back. Amen, because it's Carl's time to buy. Amen. And so we had dinner again yesterday at Fred's Fish House. Four strips of catfish on top of the French fries with a big, big sweet onion, a whole slice all the way through, and a kosher dill pickle with all the other relish and stuff. You're ready to go back and finish off today's dinner, aren't you? Anyhow, amen. I've been to Arkansas and back, as you can decipher by my conversation. I got to thinking, and the Lord woke me up kind of early thinking about it. I've got to go to Export Friday, and I didn't need to make two trips in 1 week, and I hadn't winterized that house yet. But I got there, and everything was in good shape. Wasn't no ice froze inside. I should have known there wouldn't be, but anyway, wasn't no ice froze in anything. I turned the water off before I left and drained both tanks, the hot water tank and the pressure tank, but still there was water in the traps and stuff upstairs, and so I went down to look after it and to winterize the house and take care of my much neglected home place, amen. And I called my wife. I'm learning to use my telephone a little better, and I got to looking at it. And there's places where the signal's stronger, even on Rome. And I got to looking at it, and down there at my house, there wasn't any signal. There wasn't any little lines there on the little antenna that it has on the dial. And I found a place just right up the road where there was two lines on the dial. And so I pulled off the road and I called her. You know, she didn't tell me y'all had snow. I said, "What's going on?" And she began to talk about the things she is worried about. and I almost hung up on her. Amen. And she didn't tell me y'all had snow. Has any of you kids been dreaming of a white Christmas or anything? There's one, two. Amen. I'm not talking to the old folks now. Amen. I was coming up the road listening to the radio last night, and I heard Jumping Bill Carlisle. He said he was 91 now. And he said, you know how you can tell when you're getting old? He said, if you drop something on the floor and you have to reach down to pick it up, he said, you see, I wonder if there's anything else I need to do while I'm down here. You know, you're getting old. I'm getting there. Amen. Hey, amen. Most of my suits I wear to church is older than Rachel. Amen. And Jessica. Amen. And time don't wait for any man. Amen. Time rushes on. Amen. And some of these days, however, we'll be in a place, as Brother Croucher sings quite often, where we'll never grow old. Praise God. Amen. Good to have Brother Gerald Pearson with us tonight. Brother Gerald, come up and take a prayer request and take us to the Lord in prayer again tonight. Amen. On what would Jesus give if he came to his own birthday party? What kind of a gift would Jesus give? Praise God. And I'll read to you in the Bible just a little bit. Amen. Second chapter Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Verse 7. What the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. My. What would Jesus give? Some of these mornings, and it may be on Christmas morning, and whatever morning it is, I'm sure it'll be a lot better than just an ordinary holiday. Amen. Jesus is going to come. And when he does, he's going to have gifts for somebody. Amen. Think about that. When he comes, he's going to have some gifts to give. He said to him that overcometh, I'll give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Hallelujah. We used to get nuts at Christmas time. Pecans, English walnuts. Oh, I learned to crack them real young. And Dad would buy some coconuts. Amen. And Dad showed us how to drill a hole in the end of the coconut and drink the milk out of the coconut. And I never tasted anything that tasted so good as that, because I've never had it before. And amen, I only had it once a year. Amen. So I learned to drill holes in coconuts. And little Junior drilled holes in all the coconuts and drunk all the milk out of all the coconuts. Amen. And of course, that, not having any refrigeration in the country, that put the coconuts in a bad way. The moment you open them up, the coconuts begin to spoil. Hey, I'm glad we're going to a place where the fruit don't rot. I'm glad we're going to a place where there'll be something better than coconuts. I went to the Philippines a few years ago, and amen, first time when I think about 87 or 88, somewhere along in there. And Brother Berg took me down the streets of Loag City. And first time I went, it was in March, and it was coconut season. I mean, they had young coconuts with all the husks on them. And a coconut, you know, with all the husks on, it's that big around. And he bought a young coconut for the equivalent of about 6 cents, just a little over a nickel. Amen. And that little Filipino gal took a great big old bolo knife, and she started working that young coconut over and peeling those husks off of it. And she worked real hard on it and hit it just the wrong way. And that young coconut was so tender that she cut into it. And she said, oh. And she cast that one aside. They would use that themselves some way or other. And picked up another young coconut and worked real hard on it. And finally she got one peeled for Brother Berg and I. And with our nickel coconut, how much did they cost here? Amen. A coconut, full-grown coconut. Amen. Quite a bit, don't they? Amen. I don't know. I haven't bought one. Amen. But they cost quite a bit anyway. Amen. And we took it home, and Sister Berg, she knows how to fix that young coconut. And she shredded it up and mixed some more milk with the milk, amen, of the coconut, and fixed young coconut. And I like that so good. Hey, all you got to do is be an overcomer tonight, and you can eat of the tree of life. And I'll guarantee you, it's better than young coconut, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. If Jesus came tonight, what kind of gifts would he give? Amen. To another church, he said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. This is the poorest church of the bunch. And you know what? He didn't have one rebuke for this poor church. They might have been poor in this world, but they were rich in the things of God. They might have been poor in this world, but they had treasure laid up beyond the blue. Praise God. This is Smyrna he's talking to. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. They were a suffering church. Huh? Man, we feel like we missed the will of God if we have to suffer a little bit. Come on. We feel like we missed the will of God some way if things go in reverse on us and we can't hardly pick the payments. Huh? Don't we? Amen. Hey, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. How'd you like that for a Christmas story? Amen. Well, the first Christmas story wasn't so nice for some. Ask the mothers of Bethlehem. Amen. They fulfilled the writing of the prophets. Rachel weeping for her children, for they were not. Amen. In the side of Rachel's tomb, amen, the infants of Bethlehem would be slaughtered, and that first Christmas would bring suffering to some. Jesus told the church of Smyrna, you'll suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But thank God, the devil couldn't touch their spirit. The devil couldn't touch their soul. Hallelujah. Hey, if you have to go to prison, take Jesus with you. Huh? Hallelujah. You can take Jesus into prison. Amen. If you have to go through tribulation, take Jesus with you. He's been there. He knows how to go through tribulation. Praise God. Hey, you'll have tribulation 10 days. That tells us that it won't last forever. Come on. Amen. Tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. I mean, there, Jesus has come on the scene now and he's talking to them. Some of these days, Jesus is going to come on the scene, and what's he going to say when he comes on the scene? And when he starts talking to us, will he say, well done? Listen to this. He said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. What would Jesus give if he came on Christmas? He's passing out crowns. Hallelujah. A crown of life. I'll give you a crown of life. And he said, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Isn't that wonderful? Not only do you have a crown of life, you got the promise that you'll escape the second death. That first death's coming to everybody. Amen. But that's not the one you're supposed to fear. It's the second death that we need to fear. Amen. Mike called me again from North Carolina the other day. He said, I ain't got long talk, but he said, would you pray a prayer for me? He said, I'm afraid of going to hell. Amen. And I prayed for Mike. I prayed for God to give him faith. Amen. You know what? Jesus is standing there trying to give Mike a crown. Jesus is standing there trying to give Mike a guarantee that he won't be hurt of the second death. Amen. Oh, I fed him while he was here. Took care of him while he was here. Sister Collins cooked breakfast, dinner, and supper a whole lot of the time for Mike while he was here, while he was staying in the evangelist quarters. Amen. After we picked him up out from under a tree out here at the head of the driveway, amen, where he was sleeping that night, he knocked on my door at 2 o'clock. I came in from way over the other side of Indianapolis to dedicate a church. Amen. Got in about 2 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And they were still up waiting on me. And somebody knocked on the door, and it was Mike. For a while, we took care of him. Amen. For a while, we didn't want to give him too much money because we didn't want to add temptation to his plight. Amen. So, amen. We took care of him in kind of a slow way, you know. Amen. Fed him. He didn't want for warmth. He didn't want for clothes. He didn't want for shelter. He didn't want for food. Amen. We tried. We reached out to help Mike. Tonight, he's afraid of death. Tonight, he's afraid of hell. Tonight, amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. We can hear tonight. We've got two good ears. What a miracle hearing is. God made that. Amen. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Praise God. And listen to what he says to the church of Pergamos. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone. Praise God. Some commentaries say a diamond. I believe this is bigger than any they've ever found. I believe this is the biggest and the best one. The man that spent his life seeking the world's biggest diamond, when he finally found it, he sat down and wept. And he said the seeking was more fun than the finding. But we're going to a place where the finding is going to be worth it all. Praise God. He said, I'll give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written. How in the world are you going to carve a name in a diamond? God can do it. Amen. God can burn your name in that diamond, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Praise God. You got any pet names for your kids? Huh? Sometimes if you're not very careful, your pet name for your child will follow them all the way through school. Amen. Some of you mothers have got a name for your little child that nobody knows, and he don't like it. Amen. My wife didn't like her pet name that her brothers gave her when she was a little bitty girl. Amen. She didn't want them to call her that. Amen. God's got some pet names for us. It's a terrible thing to be named Junior. I was named Junior because my dad was Leonard Lee. And so everybody called him Leonard, and that left me with nothing but Junior. Amen. I was called everything from Junebug, and most of my grandmas and grandpas and kin folks, they called me Junebug. Amen. And once in a while, for short, my uncles would call me Prune, because that rhymed with June. Amen. And so they called me everything from Junebug to Prune. And I hated the name Junior. When I went to high school, I told my name was Junior. Amen. But the boys gave me a new nickname. I used that rose hair oil and used a lot of it. And back then, they used lots of that greasy kid stuff. Don't worry, it'll come back in style pretty soon. Amen. And one morning I used so much rose hair oil, it turned my hair red, and it was dripping off my sideburns. And the boys nicknamed me Red that morning. And they called me Red all the way through high school. Amen. I don't know if that ain't about as good as honey pot, sugar booger. Huh? Amen. I mean, we got all kinds of pet names in private. Amen. I'll tell you what God's going to call you. Amen. If you was faithful, amen, you white-haired older saints, he might call you Old Faithful and carve that into your name, into your diamond. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know what you were good at, praise God, but God will carve that pet name that he has for you because you're close to him. I mean, you're his friend. You're on speaking terms. Amen. Once in a while, some of my friends would call me Boone. That rhymed with June. So they call me Boone. So anything from Boonier, Prune, Junebug, Junie, I hated that. Man, that made me sound like a little boy in short pants. Junie, I hated that. Amen. And boy, grandmas can give you some of the most awful pet names. Amen. Just makes you plumb mad for them to call you those names. Hey, don't hold it against them. They like you. Amen. You're probably their favorite. That's the reason. But God, he's going to look down one day and he sees what you're good at, what you do well. Amen. There he comes. That's my little, come on. What is it he called you? What is it somebody's been calling you? Come on. You're going to carve it in that diamond. A diamond as big as a basketball. Whew, glory to God. With your name wrote on it. Amen. Hey, I may be bigger than that. I don't know. Praise God. And my. No man knoweth save it. He that receiveth it. It's yours. Yours. Yours forever. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And then let's look at and see what he says to Thyatira. He said, I'm not going to read the negative part. There's some in Thyatira that that's going to get a gift that they don't want. Amen. And I'll just mention in passing, he said, I'll give you everyone according to your works. Oh boy, and they ain't going to like it neither. Amen. But then he says to the overcomer, he that keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Stalin murdered millions of people, his own people, to keep his power. Lenin murdered millions of people, his own people, to keep power. Hitler murdered millions of people. Amen. 6 million Jews, but he also murdered, and this is the unknown story, 7 million professed Christians of the so-called Christian world. Hitler did that to have power. Amen. Why is power so important? There comes a time that money is not important anymore. There comes a time that you've bought all you can buy with money. You've piled up all you can pile up with money. You got more houses that you can take care of. You got more places to go. You got the summer house, winter house, and you haven't got time enough to enjoy all of them. And there comes a time that money runs out of things it can buy. Ask Solomon. He had it all. Amen. He had the summer palace, the winter palace, the middle ways palace. Amen. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. When men run out of things to do with money, they start buying women. And Solomon had so many women that it took him 16 hours to kiss them all goodnight. And he wouldn't give very much a time to either one of them. Amen. Solomon had 1,000 women, but he still wasn't satisfied. You know what his cry was? He said, it's all vanity. Yes. Yes. Amen. He had more power in all his glory than any other man in the world, and everybody wanted to get under Solomon's wing. Amen. They wanted to get on the good side of Solomon. Kings wanted him to marry their daughters. And so they sent their daughters up in wedding attire for Solomon to marry them. Amen. He had wives from Egypt, wives from Syria, wives from Babylon, everywhere, until those women with their false religion turned Solomon against God. And he cried, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Listen to this. You can have more than what Solomon had tonight, and with satisfaction to boot. Amen. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. Anybody that becomes rich in this world drowns himself in many sorrows and many foolish and hurtful lusts. That's Bible. Amen. But when Jesus gives us power over the nations, it will come gratis with no ill effects. Amen. Power. Hey, girls, in that land where there's no male or female, you'll have equal status. Come on. Amen. The only way a woman can pull herself up is to get right with God. And many a mother in Israel has found that out. And through their prayers, many a church has been started, because many a woman found out that the only way they could raise themselves up was to get right with God. God has done more for womanhood. God has done more to abolish slavery. God has done more to give man back his manhood than all the rest put together, praise God. All the education in the world can't do it. But here he said, if you'll just overcome, I'll give you power over the nations. Amen. Praise God. A teacher was remonstrating with the boy in class because he went to sleep during class. Amen. And the boy explained, "Teacher, I've been working in a job." Working a job? Your education is more important than your job. How much are you making in that job? And when the boy told the teacher how much he's making, he was making more than the teacher was. And the teacher had spent 4 years in high school, 4 years in college to teach school. And one of his students was going to sleep in class because he was making more money than the teacher was. It's many a teacher, if they didn't see the deeper meaning of their calling, have give it up for that very reason. Amen. They can make more money in politics. They can make more money somewhere else. Amen. Here Jesus said, "Him that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I'll give power over the nations." You want power? And have it forever? Over there. The Sardis church. "Thou hast a few names in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And here's the gift. They shall walk with me in white." Amen. Lawrence of Arabia rode a strong Arabian camel, and he wore snow white because he found out that it reflected the heat of the sun. And so he wore snow white while he was in war, while he was in battle. And most of the Arabs pulled off all their clothes anyway when they went into battle, because it felt like when they got wounded, it kept away the infection. And so they fought naked in battle. Lawrence Arabia wore that big, rode that big camel, sometimes traveled as high as 100 miles in one day. Camelback. That was about his limit. Amen. Lawrence of Arabia helped General Allenby win that war in World War I. Lawrence of Arabia went home and got killed in a motorcycle wreck after he had fought and won the battle. Amen. But hey, amen. Some of these days we're going to put on those white garments. Amen. And it's going to be a popular color in heaven. Praise God. It speaks of holiness. It speaks of worthiness. And he said, "They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I'll not blot his name out of the book of life. We will confess him before my Father and his angels." And you won't wake up some morning and find that it's just a dream and it's all gone in a moment's time. Amen. To the Philadelphian church he said, "To him that overcometh, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem." Out yonder somewhere on a granite wall is carved the presidents. Down near Atlanta, Georgia, on a marble face of a mountain. Amen. You can see the faces of great men. Out west, you can see the faces of great men high on the mountain. I traveled the main highway out of Loog City going south to Manila. It's a 9-hour journey, but yonder high on the mountain, amen, is a stone face of President Marcos high on the mountain. There's just one problem with that. Marcos can't see it. There's just one problem with the faces of the presidents on those granite walls on whatever mountain they happen to be chipped out and chiseled into. None of them can see it. Some of them are in hell and could care less. But Jesus said, if you'll just overcome, I'll make you a pillar, a living pillar, praise God, in the temple of my God. And then lastly, as they come to get us a song, 21st verse, chapter 3. To him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Well, as a little boy, they took us to see Santa Claus. Now, folks, we wasn't used to seeing men with long beards. And us kids were scared to death of Santa Claus. We were so scared of Santa Claus, we cried. Amen. And we was little. We were so scared of old men with long beards that when Mr. Cathy came walking down the road that we took to go to school, and we saw that old man come walking down the road toward us early in the morning as we walked to Field Creek School. Amen. All us kids took out like a bunch of deer the opposite direction. Amen. And run clear into the woods because we were scared of old Mr. Cathy. And Mr. Cathy had a beard that long. Amen. Ugliest creature that I'd ever seen going to school. Amen. Whew, glory to God. Amen. We're scared of Santa Claus. Oh, we talked about him in high-sounding terms. We talked about him in high-sounding phrases, what old Santa Claus was going to bring us. When we come to sitting on Santa Claus' lap and listen to him say, ho, 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 we didn't want to get too close to Santa Claus. Amen. Listen to this. He that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcome and set down the Father on his throne. Amen. There's a lot of folks talking high-sounding phrases about God. They're talking high-sounding terms about him whose hair is white as snow, praise God, and his eyes a flame of fire, and from whose presence heaven and earth fled away, because everybody that's not washed in the blood will be scared to death to face God. And oh, what a weeping and a wailing when the lost are told of their fate. Oh, what weeping and wailing. They prayed, but their prayers were too late. The well done, my friend, is to the overcomer. And if we haven't done well, he's not going to say well done. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, you give us good ears to hear. You give us a good mind to think. You give us two good eyes to see your word. And Lord, tonight here we stand on the brink of eternity without too much time. Lord, help us to be ready. And when you come with all these gifts for your people, for your church, for your overcomers, for your children, those that suffered, those that cried and even died for the gospel's sake, help us to be one of those that's glad to see you. Help us to go bounding to meet you. Help us to say, Lord, I've been singing for years, oh, I want to see him. And help us, Lord, to be ready to look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As they sing, we invite you one more time around the altar for a season of prayer. What would Jesus give?
Too many trials.
What's he going to call you when you stand before him? Faithful
tears of me
are unfaithful
to remember. There's too much.
What name's he going to put in that white diamond?
To lose.
Love. Joyful.
Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain.
Or will he say, depart
too
from me?
Many rivers.
Your pride and your arrogance. Your failure to call upon God has bought you a place in hell.
Away.
Real estate in hell.
There's too much to gain.
Cry out to Jesus tonight. Cry out to Jesus tonight.
I've crossed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Desert.
Cry out to Jesus tonight.
Struggling. The right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's cool, clear water, and defeat is one word I don't use. Too many sunsets fly behind the mountain, too many rivers my feet have walked through, too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's cool, clear water, and defeat is one word I never use. Mountains, too many rivers my feet have walked through, too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Too to gain, to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain, to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers these feet have walked through. Too many treasures away. Too much to gain, to lose. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers these feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain. Too many rivers these feet have walked through. Too many treasures they're waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Feet have walked through. Too many treasures they're waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Too many miles behind me. Too